You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Well, Father, I just thank you for the World Wide Web. I thank you that I can connect with people all over the world through the power of technology. What an awesome time to be alive and preach the good news. And so I'm just grateful this morning. I'm grateful for every single person that is watching, that is listening, that is going to be listening to the podcast. I thank you that they are here by divine appointment. And I thank you, Father, that today's message is by divine appointment. I thank you that this is something that you have been refocusing me on for a reason, because it is acceleration time. It is manifestation time. It is time for us to understand your ways. Yes, your ways are higher. Yes, your thoughts are higher. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for us. But the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. And so I thank you that we are not without help. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is relentless in the pursuit of us coming into agreement with who you've created us to be, with the elevation of our consciousness into the mind of Christ and to the operation of the sons of God in the earth. And so I just declare, Father, that the spirit of sonship is here today, that we are all crying Abba, that the spirit of bondage is cast away, and that we are in fact entering into the reality of our inheritance. The kingdom of God is now. It's here. It's in us. And I thank you that all things are possible and that we are believers, that we believe those things, Father, and that we hear your voice clearly and we are hearers of the word and not just doers of the word. And so we are walking in a supernatural flow. The river of life is flowing in us and through us, and we are aware of it at all times, Father. Thank you that we have kingdom solutions for any contradiction or any challenge or any problem that could ever be, here in the earth. And I just thank you, Father, that we are kingdom solutionaries. Father, we are kingdom visionaries. We are kingdom manifestors here on the planet to partner with you and see the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God manifested here on earth. And so I just release strategy. I release divine ideas. Father, I just release confirmations. I release next steps. I release clarity. I release vision. I release all of the wisdom that each and every person needs, Father, to step into the fullness of who you've created them to be and co-create and co-govern the earth with you. And I just declare all of that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, you guys. Well, we are talking about conscious co-creation today, okay? And I don't know, sometimes I wonder if my titles are going to freak people out. Like, oh, Shalise, that's like kind of a new age title or something. But hopefully you've been following me enough to know that I am a junkie for quantum physics. I am a junkie on the Holy Ghost and the supernatural and the new wine. And so I just have left the realm of, I don't know, maybe human judgment and paradigms that keep us closed into ways of thinking and ways of being because we get offended at things like language. So the word conscious is not a new age word. It is a frankly, probably a psychology word more than a new age word, but consciousness is a part of our design as human beings. It's what sets us apart from, you know, different species of God's creation. Consciousness is in its simplest form, awareness. Okay. It is the ability for us to be self-aware. It's the ability for us to show up as an individual. I mean, it's kind of this strange little word, right? That we, you know, they talk about being conscious or unconscious, right? We are unconscious when we go under for surgery, meaning that we have left the conscious realm of being aware of our surroundings. I mean, consciousness is such a powerful thing. And if you've listened to my podcast very long, you know that I've talked a lot about the levels of consciousness. I've talked specifically about four levels of consciousness. I've talked about to me consciousness, by me consciousness, through me consciousness, and as me consciousness. Sorry, I had to fix my light. And those four levels of consciousness cause us to show up in the world in very different paradigms. Just real quickly, I'm going to review them because today we're going to be talking about through me and as me consciousness and talking about conscious co-creation with God. But let's review those really quick for those of you that aren't familiar with them. So by me consciousness is a way of being and a paradigm that you might think of as victimhood, right? It's where life is happening to me. I am a victim of my circumstances. Things that are external from me are controlling me. I feel powerless. I feel out of control. I feel at the mercy of someone or something that is external to me. It's characterized by language like I can't or I have to. Doesn't feel like there's a choice in the matter when you are into me or you are in victim consciousness, okay? Now, moving out of to me consciousness to the next kind of higher paradigm and the higher level of being is something that's called by me consciousness. Now, by me consciousness is an empowered consciousness. It's not that you are a victim of life or a victim of your own thinking or a victim of your own choices or a victim of the government or a victim of your spouse or a victim of anything else external, your boss, whatever. You aren't a victim now, but you are in a more empowered state. But you are in a place where it is up to you that now I am empowered, but if I don't do it, no one else will. It is up to me. This has to happen by me. So in this place, you're still going to find some I have to language. You probably won't find as much as I can't. You'll find I can, right? But you have to. It's up to you. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And so this is the place where we are working and toiling. And we are really stuck in the sense realm. I mean, in fact, both to me and by me are sense realm governed consciousness, meaning that we are governed. We are just aware. Our awareness is limited to the sense realm, to the seen realm. And so you are working hard in by me, right? This is A causes B equals C. And so you are moving through time in a very linear fashion. There is a past, there is a future, and you are working hard to get to the future that you want. Okay. And it is just really carnal. It is very much flesh driven and it is up to you. This isn't both of these states of consciousness are independent from God. You have a view of God that is outside of you or up there somewhere. Neither are union based levels of awareness and consciousness. And so there's a lot of struggle that happens in to me and by me. Okay, but now moving up to the next level of consciousness, we start to get into the spirit. We start to leave the seen realm and we get into through me, right? So this is where we recognize that God primarily works not externally from us, but through us. We are a branch on the vine. We are a vessel that we are to fully surrender, right? And offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that when we do that, God operates through us. We begin to become aware of things like the gifts of the Spirit and knowledge and revelation that is happening, not out of our intellect, not out of the sense realm, but more out of our spirit, right? And so the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is the Holy Spirit, is now, we now are connected. We now realize we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so now we are hearing God and we are able to take faith and inspired Holy Spirit, inspired action and watch God move through us, right? So this is where we can see the supernatural and we can bend time. Right? We can step out of cause equals effect and recognize that all things are possible if we can believe. And so there's this union perspective, but there's also this surrendered perspective. And so we are giving up control as we move from by me to through me. We're saying your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in each level, we're giving up something, right? And when we're going from victimhood and to me into by me, right? We are giving up victimhood. We are giving up powerlessness, right? And then when we go from to me or by me rather into through me, we are giving up control. But the highest level that we can operate in is what you might call the sonship paradigm, right? It's where you recognize that there is no separation between you, between God, between you and creation, between you and other people. Why? Because Christ is in all and all. He fills all in all. And so this Christ, the Christ, Jesus, that is in us is the cohesive force of the universe. And so we recognize things like quantum entanglement. We recognize things that there's no distance in the spirit, that everything is already finished, that what was is, that there's an eternal now. And that from God's perspective, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, that your purpose, your destiny, that whatever it is that you desire, whatever is in the kingdom and a part of your inheritance, you already have been given. It was finished not only 2,000 years ago when Jesus recreated all of creation and was the undoing of Adam, but it was truly done before the foundation of the world. You step out of time in Asmi and you start to realize that because there is no separation, that now I'm yielded to such a degree that it's no longer, there's no separation. It's not really even a vine and a branch as two separate entities anymore. It's just a plant. It's just a grapevine. It's, you know, we don't differentiate necessarily a tree with the branches and the trunk. We just say, oh, it's a tree. And so that we start to realize that we are recreated in Christ as a divine species. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are little, you know, G, God. And again, I'm not saying that we are big G God, but when you're one with the triune God, with the Godhead, and the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling in you, well, then where does God end and where do you begin? And you yield to such a degree that now God is looking through your eyes. God is speaking your words. And you are moving through the seen realm as a son that that creation is conscious of. So wanted to do a little bit of a review there, and it took a little bit longer than I would have hoped, but that's okay. We're going to get into this. Let's start today in Romans chapter 8, because this is really the foundation scripture of what I wanted to talk about today. And I'm going to go into it in the Passion Translation because I also like it in the the Message Translation. It's this one. Okay. So Romans 8:19, here's what it says. And I just love this. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure empty futility, resulting from the consequence of human sin, resulting from the fall. But now, with eager expectation, all of creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay, so powerful, and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. Okay, let me just read it in the New King James Version so you maybe are more familiar with that version of it. It says this, it says, for creation, let's say, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Okay. And then I wanted to see if there was one other aspect. Okay. No. So another, maybe it's just the King James Version. It says that, you know, all of creation is moaning and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so I'm not going to go try to find it in another version. You're getting it. And so today I wanted to talk about what does it mean to co-create, and what does it mean to be conscious, like in a level of consciousness that will allow us to co-create, to partner with creation, to show up in our lives in a place where we are fully surrendered to God and we are able to govern and able to dominate the seen realm so that heaven invades earth and the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives are effortlessly manifesting. You know, at the beginning of the year, I had the word for the year that was like, don't quit, be unstoppable, learn to manipulate and govern or dominate the matrix. And so, you know, all year, this has kind of been the theme. And I felt like I just wanted to insert this. And who knows, maybe we'll talk about it next week when we do the word of the week as well. I mean, the word of the month as well. We'll see where we go with that. But, you know, all year we've really been talking about this place of entering into sonship, where we are seated in heavenly places and we are seeing things from God's perspective, and we are not asleep at the wheel. We are not driving through life blinded to kingdom realities, driving through life blinded to the reality of our sonship and who we really are and our union with God and the power of our words and the power of our intention and the power of our the choices that we make and the power of faith-filled, inspired action. And so I want to approach this today from the place of what I want to call a co-creation structure. And let me pull it up here, because I put a, I wanted to talk about a co-creative or co-creation structure and a level of consciousness, a level of awareness that causes us to transcend the seen realm. And so there are four parts to a co-creative structure. Okay, the first part of this structure, and it'll make more sense when I talk about a structure in a moment, but a structure is just, when you think about a structure, think that everything has structure. It's the way, anything that has parts and that have been assembled together in a certain way to perform a function has a structure. Like, I'm sitting in a chair and the chair has structure. This happens to be a little rolling chair, right? But it's got wheels, it's got a little wheel stand, it's got obviously the seat that I'm sitting in, it's got some armrests, and it's got a back, and it is assembled together with bolts so that it has a particular function, and this structure enables it to perform its purpose. Okay, a chair is meant to be sat on, and you know, if I didn't know the purpose of the chair, I could, you know, probably turn it over upside down over there and hang my coat on it and think it's a coat rack. But when I use it in a way that it is not designed to operate, you know, it can damage the structure. It is an abuse, frankly, of the structure of that. And so there is a structure to conscious creation. There is a structure to the kingdom. There are mysteries of the kingdom. And so I want to talk about it today, because really what I want us to be able to do is to live outside of time. I'd like us to be able to live from the perspective of God's thoughts, his higher ways, and function from his perspective and his perceptions, and operate in a way that really the Bible describes as faith, right? The just shall live by faith, meaning that we are not governed by the seen realm, but we are awake and we are operating from a higher level, an interdimensional level. So the structure of a co-creative structure has four parts, okay? It has what I'm gonna call a current reality, and then it has a desired reality. It has an identity, and it has actions to take, all right? And I'm gonna say inspired actions to take. And so let's break that down and let's talk about it for a little bit in our remaining time today. So the first part of a co-creative structure is your current circumstances, right? Like, whatever those current circumstances may be, I have no doubt that God has a vision for your life, and he has union-inspired desires, is what they say, what it's called in John 15, in the Mirror Translation, which I love. Meaning that God has desires for us. There are things that are arising out of our union with God. Maybe I should go over there so you guys can get a context for this. There are things that are arising out of our fellowship with God, out of our union with God, that God wants to see happen in our lives. All right. So it's in John, pretty sure it's in John 15. Let me move one over. Yep. In John 15, this is a beautiful picture of as-me consciousness. It says this: my words find voice in you. With your abiding in me and my words abiding in you, a conversation is inspired where you will request that which arises in your desire from our union, and it shall come to pass for you. In verse 8, it says, these union-inspired desires bear the very fruit that endorses the Father's glory. This is where true discipleship is born. Okay, so now I'm talking about these union-inspired desires in the context of a co-creative structure and our current reality. Because I'm bringing it up because wherever you find yourself inside of time right now, no matter what is going on in your life, okay, let's say if we just took an inventory of our life, okay, this is how much money I have in my bank account. This is the status of my mental health. This is the status of my relationships with, you know, my family, my friends, whatever, my coworkers. This is the status of my physical health, right? This is the status of my physical fitness. We could use that one, right? And how much I weigh and, you know, what is my, physical health in terms of diagnoses or whatever. So there is a current state or a current reality in our lives. All right. But God has union inspired desires for every area of our life. He was involved. Fruitfulness is a equal opportunity employer in our lives. God has dreams and visions and a manifestation of your true life and your true identity and who you really are in heaven, okay? He wants that manifested in our current reality. But usually there is a gap. There's a gap between your current reality and the fullness of the stature of Jesus, where it manifested in our life is heaven's reality in all of those dimensions of our life. And so, first of all, you know, there's many times a gap between our desired reality. Our desired reality. Other hand, if you're watching, right, I'm trying to do current and desired reality with my hands here. On the left hand side, I've got a hand saying, "Okay, this represents current reality," and on the right side, I've got a hand saying, "This is our desired reality." And typically, there is a gap between the two. And the problem in most of our co-creative efforts, meaning that we are believing God, this would be like Christianese, we're believing God for something, right? I'm believing God for finances to pay my bills. I'm believing God for the restoration of my marriage. I'm believing God for the manifestation of healing. I've got symptoms or diagnoses, and I'm believing God that, you know, by his stripes, I am healed. And in the current reality, there may be the manifestation of things that I like to call our manifested lies. They are very real, okay? They are very real in the fact that they are tangible, they are material, okay? They have, you can see them, you can touch them, you can feel them, you can say this is existing in the natural realm. But there is also a reality that is in the spirit that is not yet manifested, which is really the gospel. And it's all the desired reality is the manifestation of all of the things that the gospel proclaims over our life, which is divine health, divine wealth, love, joy, peace, patience, all of the fruit of the spirit, a sound mind, right? Healthy body. I mean, these are salvation. The word sozo is the, you know, equivalent to the Jewish word shalom. It means there's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. And salvation is way more than just the forgiveness of sins. That Greek word is like delivered, right? And truthfully, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. And so this reality that is heaven on earth, that is heaven manifesting in our lives, is our divine birthright and the new birth. These are our rights by our union and our marriage to Jesus as the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. And so technically these manifested lies are illegal in our lives. And somewhere, somehow, the jurisdiction of heaven is not manifesting in its fullness in our lives. And so there is this current situation that can be a contradiction. You hear me talk about contradictions a lot, to the desired, which is heaven on earth. And all of these specific union-inspired desires that God has for your life. I mean, it was very clear to me when we moved back to Chicago that Jesus had a desire for us to live on Grace Avenue in the home that we are living in. Like, this was not, you know, this was very specific to me. I mean, when I walked into the house and it was fully furnished, that's right, we walked into a fully furnished house, it looked like my Pinterest board. Like, this was, whoa, right? This was a manifestation of my desire and God's desire intertwined. I mean, it just fit me like a glove. And that is the way God's purposes and plans and dreams are designed to glorify God. Like they are the revealing of you and your real life and your true identity and who you are called to be and the representation of God's goodness and glory that you are destined to be a living epistle of, to be a testimony of, to be a witness of the goodness of God. It is tailor-made for you. But oftentimes the difference between, you know, our current reality and our desired reality seems so far-fetched, impossible even. And so we have this gap and we don't know how to get there. We don't know how to co-create with God the desired reality, the desires of our heart. And so this structure that I'm explaining is just the, it's just kind of like a kingdom principle, or if you will. It's just the way, I guess, that co-creation and manifestation works. And so I wanted to talk about it today. So let me get back to my notes, okay? So let's talk about the other parts of the structure, okay? You've got the current reality and the desired reality. Well, let's talk about where identity, which is the third part of the structure, comes in. Sorry, my notes keep going away. I'm trying to set them up here. Anyway, so this next part is your identity. And I want to talk about this from maybe like three perspectives. And when I talk about a perspective, I'm talking about a way that you see reality. It's like, you know, they talk about perspective in art. Perspective is kind of like, you know, your perspective when you're standing on the ground and you're looking around, you know, you can see things from this perspective, your feet on the ground. But then you could go up in a helicopter and you're going to see things from a different perspective. You're going to be looking down on the earth and everything's going to have a very different perspective. It's going to look different. People are going to look like little tiny people, right? It's going to look like a toy game or, you know, one of those toy train setups or something. It's going to, because you're like a giant when you're looking up from up there, right? And so those are different perspectives. And so I want to talk about these three different perspectives. There is the perspective of your current reality. All right. And depending on what level of consciousness you are in, when you are in, you know, viewing things from the perspective of your current reality, you may, in fact, you know, feel completely powerless to change anything. You may feel totally trapped and stuck in your circumstances. And it's a very disempowered perspective. Or you may step into a more empowered perspective and say, well, I have the ability to change this if I work hard and I set these goals and I go to the gym 5 days a week and I really work hard. Well, guess what? I can lose that weight and I can get into good shape. I'm just using a physical health. I mean, physical fitness as an example, right? And so you can get into buy me with this and think about how this is just temporal, right? You can think, oh, we can change this. And you know, there's different ways that you can look at your current circumstances, hopelessness or hope. Right? But the point is, it's like an assessment of this is where I am today. In fact, I personally started just going back to the gym and I got on one of these really fancy machines last night that you hold up these little handles and it not only breaks down your weight, but it tells you, you know, how much of your weight is your skeletal system, how much of weight is like your, is fat and how much is muscle. And anyway, it was quite the eye opener to stand on that little machine. But here's the truth. It's just my current reality. It doesn't mean anything about me and my identity until I decide that it does. And so many times, a lot of us are living out of an identity that is based on our current circumstances. So we see ourselves as broke. We see ourselves as sick. We see ourselves as out of shape. We see ourselves as, you know, headed for divorce or whatever the current reality would label you as. But it is not your true identity. You are not defined by these external things that your current reality is dictating to you, okay? In fact, you can just as easy go over to the desired reality and you can begin to imagine what an identity would look like in your desired reality. Okay, so you can say, well, over here, I'm healed. I'm symptom free. Over here, I am strong and I am fit. Over here, I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in investments. I have rental properties. Over here, I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm a published author. I'm a business owner. I am starring in roles in well-received movies, in I'm successful, right? I am a famous actor. I am a famous physicist. I'm a professor at a college, like whatever. Like there's things that you can say. This is my desire. Okay. And this is what my identity would look like. In fact, I talk a lot about people about living from the future and making decisions from the future. Why? Because the identity that we operate out of is really important if we are going to create something. All right. Now I'm going to pause before I go too far into that for a moment and talk about a third reality. And the third reality is who we are in Christ. It's who we are in heaven. And honestly, both of the current and the desired reality are not fully in alignment or a good depiction of the glorified you that exists in Christ, seated in heavenly places right this very minute. Because here's the deal. The thing about this co-creative structure is that typically what happens is that, you know, let's say that you end up creating, co-creating or manifesting or receiving from God, different ways to say it, your desired reality. Well, you know what happens? Your desired reality becomes your current reality. And now guess what? God has a different kingdom initiative. You have a different union-based desire. You have another expansion of the kingdom that is going to be, God is going to drop in your lap. And so now you have a new current reality, which is better than the old current reality, right? But it's not, but there's still another level. There's another level of manifestation of the fullness of the stature of Jesus. And so the current reality and the desired reality are kind of just moving along like this. In fact, I talk about how important it is to not look at the gap all the time between your current reality and your desired reality, but it's much more empowering to look at the gain, which is where you used to be. So you used to have a current reality that is not your current reality. And so we call that, right, the gain. So whether you're looking at the gain or the gap can really be a powerful tool in shifting your mindset. But anyway, let's go back to these identities. So there's an identity, the real you transcends any identity that is your current identity or your desired identity. However, your desired identity is really, really powerful, right? There is something about when you are co-creating with God a specific union-based desire, a specific aspect of your inheritance in Christ, a specific kingdom initiative or goal or assignment that God has in your life, or simply just a promise of God. There's something really, really powerful about stepping into that identity. Now, recognizing it doesn't define you, Christ defines you. Your identity transcends all earthly reality, right? But there's something powerful about being your desired future self now. In fact, it's a scriptural principle. I brought up one of my favorites. I had to look it up again this morning because I couldn't remember where it was because it was in the Message translation. But listen to this. Well, let me read it to you in the non-Message translation first. It's Matthew 9:29. So let me just pull it up in like the New King James Version here for a second. Matthew 9. It says two blind men were healed. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Okay. I'm just going to stop there for a moment and I'm going to go over to the Message translation because it really pulls out this principle that I want to talk about. You know, over and over again, Jesus would say, you know, be it unto you according to your faith, be it unto you according to your faith. And so I love the way it brings it out in the Message translation, because that phrase is always like, well, is it my faith or is it Jesus's faith? Like, whose faith is it? Like, it just can cause some confusion. But in verse 20, let me read this in verse 20. I'll just start in 27 again. It says, as Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, mercy, Son of David, mercy on us. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him, and Jesus said to them, do you really believe that I can do this? And they said, why, yes, Master. And then he touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. It happened, they saw. Okay, so I'm going to say this again, become what you believe. I just love that so much because it is such a powerful principle that is in alignment with the way God created the universe to function, how God created creation and humanity and human beings to partner together, because we affect creation by what we observe, by what the actions that we take, that creation is truly conscious. I mean, Jesus could speak to a fig tree and it would obey. I've talked about like Dr. Emoto's experiments where there were water crystals that would form based upon just words that he would type out on a piece of paper and show to the water crystal. And when he would say words like thank you, they would form into beautiful snowflake-like structures. And when he would play rock music or say a negative like hate, word hate to them, it would go into chaos and disarray. And so, gosh, I mean, we are so, so, so powerful. But these identities that we're in right now, right in this example, right, there was a blind man. They were blind. And then they saw. And so they had a desired reality to see. And they came to Jesus. They partnered with Jesus. And he said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes. And he said, become what you believe. And so the question is always, do we believe? And it's not just that God is able to do this, but is God willing to do this? Will he do that to us, through us? Can we co-create with God? And what do we actually believe? And how do we assume the identity of someone that already has it? Because faith is the belief that we already have it. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You will become what you believe. And so the question is, have we stepped into an identity of healed? Have we stepped into an identity of rich? Have we stepped into an identity of physically fit? Have we stepped into an identity of peaceful relationships? And what does that identity act like? What does that identity do? How does that identity show up in the world every day? What actions are required for that to manifest, that identity to manifest? Because guess what? Those blind men took an inspired action. They said, Son of David, have mercy upon me, right? They took an action towards what they believed was possible. And so the last aspect of that structure is inspired action. It's what identity am I living out of? Am I living out of an identity where I'm just trapped in my current situation? And I'm identifying with myself as broke and sick and miserable? Or am I seeing myself as God sees me, as though it's already done? Am I Abram or am I Abraham, right? Am I Simon or am I Peter? Who am I? Am I healed, whole? And now granted, there may be inspired actions to take toward, in fact, there will be inspired actions that you take towards the manifestation of that, but am I being it? Because you need to be it to see it. You become what you believe. And so this identity that you're stepping into is something that exists outside of time right now. How does that future you dress? How does that future you talk? What does that future you do? You know, I told somebody yesterday, I was making a decision. I said, I don't make decisions based on money. I make decisions based on what's needed. And I make decisions based on the future that I'm stepping into. And so what choices are necessary for you to step into that desired reality? What do you need to do different? You know, and there is natural things that we do and there's supernatural things that we do. It's both. We are interdimensional beings. And so the natural thing was to yell out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The supernatural thing was to become what they believed. And so it's both, right? The Father, you know, he did both in creation. He spoke, but then he also worked with his hands. He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. So there was work in the natural and there was work in the spirit. And so in this structure, you've got your current reality, your desired reality, the identity and the belief system of what identity are you operating out of. And then you've got an inspired action. And, you know, and the inspired actions are when I say inspired, they are Holy Spirit led. What is the very next thing the Holy Spirit is leading you to do as you step into the manifestation of what it is that God is co-creating with you and through you as you. What is God wanting to do? What's the next thing that you're doing? You know, I have this little thing my daughter wrote. I keep it on my desk and over here, and it just says, focus on the next step in front of you, not the whole staircase. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what is the focus? What is the intention? What is the inspired action that moves you towards the manifestation of the desired reality that God has for you? And so let's kind of wrap it up, right? We can't get stuck in the current reality in victimhood. And there's more to getting from where you are and achieving or manifesting the desires that God has for you. It's not just, you know, just toil and hard work and effort. Can you do it that way? Of course. I mean, there's things that we can do, you know, but truly the supernatural way is manifestation. And it's stepping into the unseen reality of your desired future as if it's already done. It's believing that it is finished. It is stepping outside of time and becoming familiar with what the future looks like, what it feels like, what does it seem like in your future? How do you look? How do you act? How do you dress? Where do you live? Who are you in relationship with? Who are you surrounded with? What are you doing? And you're spending time in that future self now. You are taking inspired actions as who you are in the future now. And as you do that, guess what? The seen realm responds to your movements, to your words. Out of the abundance of your heart, you begin to speak. And you are co-creating in union with God, following the path that God set before you ahead of time, and taking the next step that Holy Spirit has inspired you to take. And the grace of God is there. And the prophetic is operating, because when you see the future, that is the Holy Spirit using your eyes to give you a vision of the manifested you and the manifestation of heaven in your life, which is God's will and his purpose and his plan for you, because he's always working to will and do his good pleasure within us. So I covered a lot of ground today, you guys. It was a lot to get out. It was a lot to absorb. So this is one that you probably want to listen to more than once. It's one that you might want to take some time to describe and draw out some diagrams and sit down with the Holy Spirit and let him reveal this revelation to you. I can tell you, whenever I sit down and think about this structure, it's like I immediately wake up. It immediately helps me transcend out of whatever current reality I may find myself in, whatever contradiction, and keeps me focused on the goal. You know, the last podcast I did, I talked about the value of a written vision. I said that a written vision is the first step in the manifestation of it. And I have a sense that coming into October, we're going to continue on that theme of vision. I don't have the full download for what the word of the month is going to be yet, but I can tell you, I am feeling very, very drawn back into getting back to the basics of what is the vision, Shalise? What's the vision for your life? What's the vision for your calling? Who are you? What are you called to do? What transformation are you called to broker in the earth? Who are you called to? What is the work that God has given you to do? What is the assignment that you have here on earth that you want to complete in union with Jesus? Like, let's get clear. Let's get some clarity around that, and let's make it clear. Let's write it down, because there are some faith-filled, inspired actions that you need to take right now towards the fulfillment of it. And there is an identity that you need to step into so that you become what you believe. So I have a sense that this is kind of a little bit of a transitional podcast into the word of the month for October. I mean, we are heading into the last 3 months of 2024, if you can believe it. And I just believe that time is on our side, that time is a servant, that we are not waiting on God, but yet creation is waiting on us. It's moaning and groaning for the co-creators to rise up. And so I just pray that this structure will be a tool, will be a aid to you to help you stay awake and recognize that you are not defined by your current reality, that all things are possible, that what you believe and the way that you move through the seen realm impacts creation, that you are more powerful than you've believed, and that the fullness of the Godhead is residing in you, and that you can move into a higher level of consciousness where you are aware of that union and you can have inspired conversations and recognize the union inspired desires that God has for your life, the good life that he prearranged and made ready for you to live, the abundant life that Jesus came for you to experience, and that you can begin to step into a future and be it so that you can see it, and that we will go higher and higher, faster and faster into the manifestation of the fullness of everything that God has planned for us and that Jesus died for us to experience. So God bless you guys. Make it an awesome day and awesome week. And we will see you soon. We'll see you next week as we round into the last quarter of the year. So God bless you guys. Love you much. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.